play good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, presented by Window World. Brought to you in part by Yuengling, America's oldest brewery, family-owned and operated since 1829. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals, Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CVTS, a Cincinnati Bell company. Technology solutions for business. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Light, Belterra Park. One amazing place to play. And by Ucrate.com for all your residential and commercial shipping needs.
Big playmaker came up and played big.
This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go. Welcome in on a special Tuesday night edition of the Roundtable Show. We are at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, all presented by Window World, simply the best for less. I'm Lance McAllister. He is the man who played in the NFL for 8 years, possesses a Super Bowl ring, and is stuck with me once a week for the Roundtable Show. He is Rocky Boyman. Rock, how are you?
Good, Lance. How are you, brother?
Rock, this show is so big, I'm told we are now broadcasting on two stations at once.
Two.
How about that? On 700 WLW wow. And ESPN 1530. We will do that till, we'll do that on two stations till 7. Then Reds Baseball plays on 700 WLW with the inside pitch, and we will then carry on exclusively on ESPN 1530 until 8 o'clock tonight. There'll be a quiz on all of this. Let's do this. Let's get a check on traffic and weather, and then we will set up a look ahead of the Miami Dolphins and a quick sneak back to what happened with the Denver Broncos. All of that from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. It's the Roundtable Show as we check traffic and weather together on 700 WLW and ESPN 1530.
From Watson's Million Dollar Sale Traffic Center, still working on the wreck in the left two lanes, North 7175, Brent Spence. Slow traffic from Buttermilk Pike, Harrison and New Haven in the cleanup. You got them wrecks now on Chase at Virginia, Shepherd Creek at West Fork, on 133 at Bethel Hygiene, and Redding at Elsinore. Still in the cleanup, Redding at Tennessee, just off of the lateral. Slow traffic, North 75, Mitchell off and on to 275, southbound GE to Mitchell, and South 71 from Pfeiffer to Kenwood, Redding to the tunnel, northbound from Dana to Reagan. Your next traffic update in 10 minutes. I'm Bruce Davis on 700 WLW.
Partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 50 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Chance of showers with storms possible in the afternoon, a high of 66. Another chance of showers with storms possible on Thursday. We're looking partly sunny, a high still in the mid-60s. That's the forecast from your severe weather station. News Radio 700 WLW.
611 on 700 WLW at ESPN 1530. It's the Roundtable Show at Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park during all NFL, UC, and Ohio State games. That's Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday through the end of the football season. They have a menu that'll knock your socks off. The Grippo's Gridiron Grinder, fourth and inches foot long corn dog, fried fire fries, the field goal fire fries, Rock, the first down chicken bites, the touchdown tacos, you name it, they've got it, and we enjoy it each and every week here at Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. The Bengals did not enjoy Sunday afternoon, nor did their fans, as the Bengals fall to the Broncos. Rock, it's interesting, we spent so much time talking about Trevor Siemian and trying to figure out exactly who Trevor Siemian was. Last quarterback drafted last year, 10th round pick. Out of Northwestern, was making his first NFL road start. We discussed how you attack him, how you try to confuse him. It seemed like whatever the Bengals tried to confuse him with, he was able to decipher and figure out. And it's kind of like they said, well, show us what you got. And he said, all right, here's what I got. And it was plenty on Sunday.
Well, look, you and I laid out the game plan last Thursday. We said, look, okay, they got a good running game. Let's take the run game away. Trevor Siemian, first-year starting quarterback, can't complete the downfield throws, right? Lots of dink and dunk, keeping stuff underneath. So, and that's what the Bengals did. They shut down the run game, took away the shorter stuff, right? And said, we're going to make this guy from Northwestern, who no one even knows what the hell his name is, we're going to make him beat us throwing the ball deep. And that's what he did. You know, so it's hard to argue with the strategy there. It's just, look, that game came down to the Bengals had plenty of opportunities to make plays. They had, three drives were kept going because of penalties, right, on third down.
Five total.
Five total.
Five defensively,
in the first half. that we had a fumbled punt.
Yep.
Okay. Had two dropped interceptions. Right. So if half of any of the things I just mentioned happen, I think the Bengals come out and they stick to their game plan, which was run the ball, which that was working. If they go up a few scores, they can stick to that plan, and they beat that team by two touchdowns. A few mistakes, and that's what we got.
Yeah, Rock, think about that for a second. We've talked about how close, how competitive the NFL is, the nature of games being decided by a touchdown or less, and things turning on just the smallest moment of a game. Think of those potential two interceptions and how they change maybe his confidence, how they change the play calling, how all of that changes in a matter of, there was one ball tipped up in the air, and it was Vinny Ray going back on it.
It was like a
shortstop left fielder going out, coming in, and a drop between them. There was one to Sean Williams that was right in his hands. And who knows, maybe that's a pick six. But no matter what happens, that is a change of possession that changes the complexion of a game. They don't get them. The Bengals don't get them. And drives stay alive. And Trevor Siemian doesn't have a dent to his confidence in those instances.
Well, look, you make a great point. A guy like that, he hasn't done much in the NFL, so his confidence is lacking.
Yep.
So as the game went on, you keep missing those opportunities. What happens? He gets more and more confidence. Hey, I can complete that throw that I never thought I could make because it's working today. I just happen to be having one of those days. So, yeah, if Sean Williams picks off that first pass and takes it back, the Bengals go down and score. Now, all of a sudden, the whole complexity of the game has changed. And you're right. The mindset of Trevor Siemian changes. We don't get that kind of performance out of him. So it was just one of those things where a lot of stuff happened to go wrong, and unfortunately the Bengals were on the losing end of it.
Boy, and he was he made some nice throws. We talk about a couple of passes almost picked off, but he made some nice throws. He threw one to the tight end of Ohio State that had some big-time RPMs on it. He made one where he was blitzed. He was under pressure. He kind of slid in the pocket, slid to the outside, had Ray Maluga kind of in no man's land, and kind of pump-faked him and then threw it over him. He just you could just tell he was picking up confidence as this game went on, to the point, Rock, you remember they're up by the one score, and right after Adam Jones left the game, they put Chris Lewis Harris in, and they rolled the dice with a rookie quarterback. He goes up top down the field 55 yards, and it's like a dagger. It was the final nail in the coffin, and it was ball game.
Well,
they were willing to take that chance with
him
at
that
point.
Now, that particular play, why they didn't give safety help over top of Chris Lewis Harris, I don't understand. But the point is that. I mean, no one's saying that Trevor Siemian isn't a capable quarterback. If he didn't belong there, John Elway wouldn't have kept him. But
yep.
Again, this guy is lacking in experience, lacking in confidence, and that's what happens, Lance. You keep giving teams opportunities, giving them more and more chances. Eventually, they're going to make a fool out of you, and he did.
The running game was a subject of great debate through the first two games and leading into this game. Could they establish the run? Would they stick with the run? What's happened to the run? How you distribute the carries? And then, lo and behold, on the opening drive of the game, It was classic. It was blocking 101. They're opening up holes. Our guy Ryan Hewitt is in the game, and he's blowing guys up. And in that first drive, it was like, holy cow, where has this thing been? They made it look easy.
Oh my God, I was thinking we're going to run for 300 yards today. I mean, you're right. It looked easy. It was everything a Bengals fan wanted. Offensive line blocking was good. They had some good, you know, personnel packages that I like.
Yep.
Some bigger guys had Fisher in as a kind of one of those movable tight end pieces. Jeremy Hill was running the ball downhill, and they couldn't stop it. But again, you get into a situation, all of a sudden, if we go up by, you know, 10 points or 14 points, then you just lean on that run game the whole game, and you run them out of the whole park. But, again, some missed opportunities here and there. Now, all of a sudden, they get some momentum. Now you can't just lean on that run game the way they wanted to.
Yeah, and as exciting as it was on the opening drive, and Jeremy had the 50-yard run. He went for 65 on the opening drive. After that drive, he carries, I think this was exclusively the 16 carries for him, if I remember what I wrote down. I think it was 16 carries for him for 47 yards the rest of the game, which my Butler math tells me is slightly under 3 yards per carry. It almost left you like, well, wait a minute, what happened? And you almost – Denver clearly made adjustments. They were realizing, holy crap, they're running all over us.
and the Bengals
625 on 700 WLW and ESPN 1530. It's the Roundtable Show.
As exciting as it was in the first drive,
it kind of left you from there going, well,
wait a minute, what happened?
Visit Belcher Park
again Saturday for the home improvement game plan works out.
Noon to 6 p.m. or 100 points on your My Choice card.
The defense is on its heels, and you just keep pounding, pounding, pounding. You can stick to that run game where you and I talked about this. The Bengals sometimes do they not commit to it enough, but I think in that situation, you couldn't commit to it because you're like, wow, this is a one-score game. You know, now they're ahead, this and that. So it really kind of messed with the game plan a little bit. Now, I think we're also going to get into
tonight, Reds and the Cardinals.
The question of how do we use Gio
A week ago, we were of the belief that, Montez will be ready and Tyler Eifert will be back. And we sit here at 626.
Any team in the league would have
And I think we'll see Vontaze Perfect. I'm not sure if we're going to see Tyler Eifert. Maybe red zone stuff. I just don't know what to make of it. It's Rock. It's close to the papers I wrote down. In three games, he has carried five times.
I wanted him to be. Five times. We've got to stick to the process.
Exactly. Five times.
I wanted to hear.
He has been targeted in average by
the coaches to clear me
five times per game. So, last Wednesday he started
to
back
me,
to
that
practice.
Doesn't seem
he was
like
limited
nearly
today,
enough.
The term for someone as dynamic, they're not doing a whole lot of this. Giovanni Bernard turnaround to
look back
night,
after three games.
I guess we kind of thought they he wouldn't play this past Sunday. They go Thursday and then give him that extra kind of like mini buy on the back end to deal with any
good use of that
came out of it.
No, Vontaze
is a different case.
Here's a guy that was less
coming back from injury. He's coming off
vastly more productive.
You like to think he goes Thursday night. I guess the question becomes in his first game back,
find ways to get the ball into his
football shape. How ready is he to go?
At least 15, upwards of pushing 20 times a game
last year.
Now how do you do that?
They'll give him extra plays.
He like played the whole game and was knocking guys over 40 plays.
I guess the detriment of having a two running back system. We touched on a little bit last week of how long you leave a guy in. You wait till he gets hot. At what point do you see?
I don't think it'd be a stretch
the other guy's day.
Tyler
well,
could play
again, as you're waiting that time out of, okay, let's get Jeremy Hill.
We're not there.
We don't now you got this very valuable piece standing on the sideline.
I would exercise
I'm over here.
Caution here, right?
Let's give him.
It's tough.
Get through this game. Figure out ways to get the ball in
Miami team.
Last
morning,
they give him an extra how many days
and we'll get into Tyler Eifert and Vontaze Perfect.
Now, if he is kind of on that
for Thursday night, as we continue, it's a
round table show. Can go. I think that's where you see. That's where I want to see him is down in the red zone because now, as you and I talked about, that changes the entire. Defensive game plan. That changes everything. Now he gets a double team. He gets the attention of their best cover guy. That leaves some more opportunities open for Gio or Jeremy or whoever's out there.
All right, much more to get to when we come back, Rock. I've been asked, are the Bengals, are they in trouble? They're 1-2. How bad is it? We'll start sorting through how bad it is or how bad it might not be.
Stay on the ledge,
stay
people.
On the ledge. There you That's go. And we've got our Yuengling webcam tonight again. Hello, Yuengling webcam. You can watch the show on my blog at 700WLW and ESPN1530.com. Yuengling gives away a cool prize pack for us, presents one to us to give away each week. We've got that and some other cool prizes we'll give away here at Belterra Park, the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. 629 on both ESPN 1530 and 700WLW. 635 on 700 WLW and ESPN 1530. It's the Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman. Don't forget live entertainment in the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Friday and Saturday night. This Friday, Lieutenant Dan's New Legs at 8 o'clock.
What?
Lieutenant Dan's New Legs is the name of the band at 8 o'clock. And set from Forrest Gump. And Saturday, it is Five Stories. Five Stories at 9 p.m.
Hey, spell stories. I-E-S or Y?
I-E-S.
Okay. It changes things.
Don't throw me off like that. I didn't want you're confusing me. This question has been posed more than once or twice. While I'm thinking of it, let me give you this time to review last week's Performer of the Week, brought to you by Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. We'll go with Jeremy Hill. 17 carries, 97 yards. He averaged 5.7 a carry, obviously skewed by the game-long 50-yard run. He also scored two touchdowns. A red zone touchdown making machine is Jeremy Hill. But this question has been asked a lot, Rock. They are 1-2. This team is traditionally a quick-starting team. They're not. In fact, they have a losing record for the first time in 50 games. You go back to early on in 2013, the last time they had a losing record. Are they in trouble? My answer to that has been, and I don't think it's a cop-out, my answer has been, not yet. Yeah. Now, if they lose on Thursday night, they're in trouble. There's no debate. They'll be 1-3 in a division where the Ravens could go to 4-0. They'd be 1-3 against AFC teams as in terms of a tiebreaker. They might be in trouble. They're not yet, and I still cling to, and I don't think I'm putting all the eggs into the basket unfairly. They're going to get Vontaze Burfict and Tyler Eifert back in some way, shape, or form here very soon. So I can't say they're in trouble at 1-2. Am I being too optimistic by saying that?
No, not at all. I mean, they are. They're not in trouble right now as we sit here. But, you know, we lose this game and all the things you just mentioned, plus the fact that we, you know, a trip to Dallas,
mm-hmm.
and you play the Patriots. You got to figure one of those a likely loss,
yes.
especially with the way that,
yes.
that New England's playing right now. And all of a sudden, you're looking at four losses and things aren't looking good. Now, I'll go back to what I said to open the show, and that is this past game was about missed opportunities. The Bengals catch an interception or two, and they don't fumble, and they, you know, don't give a big play in the past game with a defense that looked confused. If all those things happen, they beat that team, you know, we're moving on. The point is this is still a very good roster. I wouldn't be giving up hope and until this roster proves me otherwise,
yeah.
or a bunch of guys
yeah.
get hurt. So they're still capable players, so you got to keep your faith in that. But to your point, with that said, you lose this game, I mean, versus a Miami team that Super Bowl teams don't lose to the Dolphins.
Right.
right?
Playoff teams don't lose to the Dolphins at home.
Right.
If you're a playoff team, you beat, quick, short week or not, you beat the Miami Dolphins home on Thursday
right.
night.
You beat the Miami Dolphins, then you lick your wounds, get some guys healed up, and you make the big push. Now, the only thing I'll throw into that, a caveat, is going back to my rookie year, 2002. We won our first game of the season versus the then-defending NFC champion Eagles. We then lost four straight. And, okay, oh, my God, this is the worst season ever. We rattled off 10 out of 11,
mm-hmm.
went to the playoffs, went to the AFC Championship game. So I only say that to keep, you know, a glimmer of hope in people of, okay, it's not all doom and gloom if they shouldn't win it. Does it put us behind the eight ball? Absolutely. But if they don't, it's not out of the woods.
Well, look, I think this is fair, and I think this is a point that people, as much as we talked about Eifert and Burfict, I think people just forget about them or assume that it's no big deal they're not here. Would I be correct in saying, if I ask you to name the top five Bengals on this team, I think Burfict and Eifert's name would come up. If we surveyed everybody at Belterra, name the five best Bengals on the team, I bet a very high percentage of ballots that came back would have Burfict and Eifert's name on it. Would that be fair to say?
No question.
So they
no
have played question. The first three games of the season without two-fifths of the best players on that ranking, and I don't think you can dismiss that. It's not an excuse. It's just the reality. You're talking Andy. You're talking AJ, Burfict, Eifert, and then, I don't know, pick somebody, Iloka or Whitworth or whoever the fifth is. I think everybody's
Gino,
five.
Right.
I forgot Geno Atkins.
Yeah, hey,
you go AJ, you go Andy, you go Geno, you go Eifert, you go Burfict, and they've played without two of the top five players on the team for the first three games.
Well, and that's true, especially when you realize, which I know, is that players win games. Okay, it's not scheme, and yeah, you want to have a good coordinator and you have a good game plan and all that, but players win games. They do things in spite of scheme, in spite of the other guys, the you know, defending team or the team on the other side of the ball making a great play. They make a better play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They always counteract. So yeah, if you think about it that way, you now add two of your best players in the mix. This is already becomes a much better football team.
They are two game-altering players. Vontaze Burfict is the heart.
Yes.
For the good and the bad, he is the heartbeat and the soul and the tone setter for that defense. And Tyler Eifert changes game plans. Tyler Eifert is a guy that defensive coordinators spend the week in the film rooms going, holy crap, look, he's a big target in the red zone. He's a big target down the seam. Those are the two, and AJ's a difference maker, and Geno's a difference maker, but those two are difference makers for this team who haven't been able to make a difference in the first three because they haven't been here. And I think people just who say they're in trouble at 1-2, I can't say that because they are going to be added back into the mix. It's not like they're out for the season.
Right, and I would argue that Vontaze Burfict is, in terms of a leader on the field, is a humongous swing of events for the rest of that defense, right?
Yep.
I mean, because right now, Who's that leader? I mean, Geno is a great player, but he's kind of silent.
Yep.
He hasn't been on fire this year, to be honest. Adam Jones, no, he's kind of a quirky, you know, renegade kind of personality. Reggie Nelson's gone, right? You got, you know, Carlos Dansby, he's a veteran. He's been around a while, but he's not been on this team. So who's the guy you look to on third and one? Who's the guy you look to in the red zone on the goal line? Well, that guy isn't there. Vontaze Burfict is a guy, by all accounts, he studies well. He's very a very cerebral player, works hard. He's that guy in those big moments. If the rest of the defense turns to him and says, all right, we got our guy. He's here. He's going to lead us in the right direction. They're missing that. Well, now they get him back, and hopefully some things change.
Now, when we come back, I want to talk about, and you've experienced this, this team isn't used to being 1-2. They're not used to answering a lot of the questions that come with being 1-2. They're not used to some of the things popping up on film or maybe the things coaches are saying to them. They're now 1-2. It will be interesting to see how this team responds to 1-2. Some don't handle adversity. Some teams around the NFL, past, present, they don't handle adversity very well. There are some things that have popped up in the last 24 hours from the Miami Dolphins beat writer about things that might be going on here with unhappiness already. Let's address that as we continue.
Let's do it.
He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. It's the Roundtable Show, brought to you in part by Yuengling, America's oldest brewery, family-owned and operated since 1829. The Roundtable Show from Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill on both 700 WLW and ESPN 1530. 647 on 700 WLW and ESPN 1530. It's the Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, to be precise. A special Tuesday night edition of the Roundtable Show. At 7 o'clock, we'll be exclusively on ESPN 1530. 700 WLW, of course, brings you Reds baseball tonight, the inside pitch at 7:05. This season, for every Kevin Huber punt down inside the 20, EverDry Waterproofing will make a charitable donation in Kevin's name. EverDry Waterproofing, they'll fix it permanently. He had five punts, did Kevin Huber, averaging 46.2 a kick. His long was 53. Three of those punts wound up inside the 20-yard line on Sunday. So, Rock, I found this interesting. Yesterday, the Miami Herald, their beat writer Adam Beasley, with a column with a nugget, a note about the Bengals. Kevin Coyle was here. Yep. He left to go to Miami, became their defensive coordinator. It didn't work out as they had all envisioned from the head coach on down, and they were all given the gate, and Kevin has come back here. Ironically enough, Kevin's come back here. Vance Joseph, who was here, went to Miami to be defensive coordinator. So there's a note in Adam Beasley's piece in the Miami Herald, and I'll read it word for word. Word out of Cincinnati is that there's already friction in the defensive backs meeting room. Players are particularly upset with some of Coyle's technique instructions. At least one player believes he, Coyle, is coaching them not to lose instead of coaching them to win. Dolphins players privately, and at times even publicly, he writes, were critical of Coyle's scheme in years past and the way he interacted with them. That from Adam Beasley, Miami Herald. Now, I have no idea how much of this is fact or fiction.
Right.
I do find it hard to believe he just made it up out of thin air. There's something to some extent to somebody saying, somebody along the chain of friendships, that this is different than the way we used to do it while we were here. Is that fair to say?
No,
is that
absolutely.
I can't completely dismiss it and tear it up and say, come on.
Right. You don't want to give it too much merit, but there's certainly, you would think, something there.
Yes.
And look, this is what happens when you have team with new coaches, and then you throw in the fact there's different players. You know, Nelson's not here anymore, kind of the leader of that room, plus the fact you lose a couple games in a row. This is how these things happen, Lance. This is how a season can just waver on little stuff, but all these little things can add up, and the thing goes over the top the wrong way. So now, what exactly they're upset about, I don't know. I mean, according to that he's...
I almost take that. Let me interpret if I could.
Yeah.
Tell me if this makes any sense. When I read he's teaching them to not to lose instead of to win, I almost wonder, and I thought to the cushion I saw a lot of the defensive backs giving on Sunday. I almost wonder if they don't take it as I just total conjecture by me, if they don't want to say, we want to get up and in the face and redirect to the line of scrimmage.
We
want to dictate, not have cushion and let things happen. Does that make any sense?
Well, to that I would say you can't give up a 55-yard bomb down the sideline in single coverage if you want to give him press some people. Because he wasn't – can't remember if he was in press or not. But either way, I guess. Yeah, that would be your interpretation.
Yeah.
They want to take some more risks, you know, step in front
of
some
aggressive,
passive.
Be aggressive, dictate, not,
right, not
react.
Not play bend but don't break kind of defense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's something that's – you know, all players inherently want to be aggressive, but – is that what the defense calls for? Is that, I wouldn't say this. I think this team brings pressure, but they're not a team that lives and dies on the blitz and lives and dies. I think they kind of say, hey, our offense is going to score some points.
Yeah.
We're going to make you go the length of the field and kick field goals instead of get touchdowns. So
now let me add this, and I thought you brought a great point of what creeps in. We said this a year ago and in years past. Look, when you're 8-0, your coaches could say anything, and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. They could say the sky is orange and broccoli is fantastic. You should eat more of it. And they would say, oh, give me some more broccoli. Look at that orange sky. They'll believe anything. Well, as long as the evidence is there in the form of a win, but when the evidence doesn't quite add up or adds up to 1-2, is it not human nature for a player, especially with a new coach, to say, well, wait a minute. It was working, and now it's not working as well.
It's impossible to argue with results. Even if you're a coach is teaching you a technique you don't like, or even making you play in a position you don't like, or maybe not giving you enough playing time, right? The old thing always comes back. Well, hey, we're winning games. Sorry, bud.
Yes.
Well, now you're not winning games. Now athletes who inherently want to be the man and make big plays and be on the field at all times and play a technique that's going to get them notoriety, yeah, they're going to start chirping a little bit. This is how much the razor's edge kind of lies right here with being a team that's 1-2, potentially a big time season changing game here this Thursday. But Lance, it's too early to talk about this. But I mean, when teams go that route to where things aren't working out and it's a losing season, I mean, it just totally crumbles.
Yes,
because now guys start thinking about themselves. They
that's
start thinking about
why
their next
I think
it's by yeah.
And I'm not predicting it's going to happen. I'm just saying you better win Thursday night, because 2-2. I think the difference between being 2-2 and 1-3 is not just one. I think the difference between 2-2 and 1-3 mentally, psychologically for this team. I don't like 1-3 and what it would mean in the standings. I don't like 1-3 with things popping up like this, and maybe even another game of a lack of evidence for they know what they're doing, because the reality is, Rock, there's five new coaches on this staff.
Right.
Well, and we can talk more about that in the 7 o'clock hour, but it's not just one new coach. It's a team that has been in the playoffs five straight years who now has five new coaches saying things to players who have been here and won, and the five new coaches are here. They haven't been a part of that. And if I'm a player, I'm going home thinking, I don't know.
I don't know about this. Yeah, before you got here, we were winning. Before you got here, I was playing like this, and we were winning games. Now we're not. So,
we're not saying this is happening. I don't want the snowball to start heading down the hill if you get to 1-3 after Thursday night.
But, I mean, regardless of if this Dolphins stuff is nonsense or not, I mean, put that aside. Say it's not true. It still comes down to the fact where if this team loses this game on Thursday, now all of a sudden you start to run the risk of, boy, guys start thinking about their next contract, and boy, I want to get my money, and I want to do this. Again, when you're winning games, guys will say, hey, coach, whatever you got to do, you got to play me situationally.
Yep.
You want me to play this kind of technique? I don't agree with it, but I'm going to do it. When that doesn't happen, you don't win games, Lance, things can go to hell in a handbasket very, very quickly.
Yes. Now, Rock, I know, and I'm not even going to look at Twitter right now, because I know that we'll be accused of just creating a doomsday scenario for this football team. And for the record, and for those in attendance, I have not created a doomsday scenario. I am saying I don't want to go to 1-3 Thursday night, because I think it allows the opportunity for other things to creep in and begin to mount for this team. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying 2-2 is a whole hell of a lot better than 1-3 after
Especially
Thursday
Especially considering what the Bengals have coming up.
Yes,
again, Dallas, New England.
Have we been
some
clear?
Big time games.
Have we made ourselves clear?
We have been crystal clear.
He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. It's the Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on both 700 WLW and ESPN 1530.